Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the President says the victims of the trouble should not be asked to move on from the past. A South Donegal deputy has warned that too many families are suffering the loss of loved ones on the roads. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle believes that nursing homes should be the responsibility of the state. And the care log of the Inishowen Municipal District has hit out at the lack of dog fouling bins on the Colmore to Muff Greenway. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher, followed by Nuked with Colm Ferrisher. First in news this evening, the President says the victims of the Troubles should not be asked to move on from the past. Today marks the 50th anniversary of the deadliest day of the 30-year conflict during which 34 people lost their lives in 4 car bombings in Dublin and Monaghan. The Taoiseach at Tánaiste and families of the victims attended a memorial ceremony on Talbot Street in Dublin to lay wreaths in remembrance. Speaking at the ceremony, President Michael D. Higgins says the victims' families deserve answers.
It is not morally acceptable, nor is it politically feasible, to request that those affected by such tragedy should forget about the past, draw a line, or move on in the name of any naive desire for a supposed closure that may never be attainable.
A South Donegal deputy has warned that too many families are suffering the loss of loved ones on the roads. Deputy Martin Kenny in the Dáil pressed Junior Minister Jack Chambers on what progress has been made on improving road safety. Minister Chambers admitted that the government is not on track to meet its target of halving the number of road deaths. He outlined to Deputy Kenny how serious the situations on the roads are.
Minister, I want to get some information in regard to an update from the department's work in relation to road safety and the continued tragedy we have on our roads with so many fatalities. And we see another man, I think, passed away after an incident in Donegal. Too many families around the country are losing their lives and suffering the tragedies of road collisions and accidents and, you know, terrible injuries that people are dealing with. We have spoken in this House for a long time about the issues in regard to enforcement, in regard to technology, in regard to try and getting a grip of this, and we seem to be making little progress. I'd like to get an update in respect of that.
Firstly, I want to express my sincere condolences to the friends and families of those who have lost their lives on our roads this year. And as Minister with responsibility for road safety, working with Minister Ryan and officials, the transport agencies and across government, we're all working together to reverse the trend and stop the level of fatalities on our roads. This government has set a target of halving road deaths and serious injuries by the end of this decade. And as things stand, we are not on course to meet this target. And there are worrying indications in the research that driver behaviour has significantly worsened since the pandemic. Attitudes to drink driving are becoming more permissive. Drug driving is on the rise, and mobile phone use is a significant contributor to collisions. As part of our response, I brought forward the Road Traffic Act 2024, which was signed into law by the President last month. This was a priority piece of legislation initiated late last year.
A Donegal deputy believes that nursing homes should be the responsibility of the state. Deputy Thomas Pringle says it's worrying to see the number of private beds increase on a yearly basis. He says that not enough funding is being allocated to rural care facilities, leading to closures in small communities and a decline in bed numbers in Donegal.
HECA's overview report on monitoring and regulation of older person services in 2022 has shown that while the closures have occurred across the country, rural areas have been most impacted. And that's because profit is harder to make in rural areas and you can't make money out of people, and that's what it's all about. And that's what the whole system seems to be going to, is going to make money. Data on closures show the disproportionate impact closures are having in some counties, especially in the west of the country. The report shows that in Donegal alone there have been a decrease of 43 beds in 2022. When nursing homes and communities close, there is a significant impact on the residents who live in the centre, their loved ones and those who are in the process of making the decision to move to a long-term care facility. The report also showed that private owners owned and operated 77% of designated centres in Ireland, with 81% of the nursing home beds. The HSE only owned 20% of nursing homes and 16% of the beds. So there needs to be, this needs to be addressed, Minister, preferably by providing fully funded, HSE-owned nursing homes. But at the very least, ensuring that more than half of designated centres in Ireland are HSE-owned and we aren't depending on, so much on large international providers.
Meanwhile, a protest is due to take place tomorrow in solidarity with the staff and patients of Letterkenny University Hospital. Organiser Emma Govis says with extensive waiting lists and continuous overcrowding, it's time the government stepped in and delivered the much-needed investment once and for all. People are being encouraged to come out and show their support at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon outside the hospital. Ms Govis says a strong message needs to be sent to government.
This is in solidarity with the staff. The amount of work they do and the pressures they face with constantly being underfunded and under-resourced is absolutely ridiculous. We only have 4 or 5 ICU beds. We need more. We need HDU beds. I mean, we have one endocrinologist who is privately sourced for 12 hours a week, and yet there are well in excess of 500 people receiving care for type 1 diabetes. We have no sitting neurologist. We have extensive waiting lists. 11 out of the 12 months last year, Letterkenny Hospital was reported as overcrowded. We need proper investment as a Tier 3 hospital. In fact, we probably need to upgrade it to a Tier 4 hospital. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, there are currently 12,565 adults waiting on an outpatient appointment at Letterkenny University Hospital. And there are currently 276 children waiting over 18 months. There are some children aging out of paediatric care that will have never seen the specialist they're supposed to have seen. You know, at this stage, we need to stand up and say, you know, we are not going to stand by idly and watch as our hospital and our services crumble beneath us. You know, Donegal should be getting the same treatment as other hospitals. And I would actually call on the staff, you know, to come out and be heard. They need proper support. And the government needs to stand up now, and they need to invest in Letterkenny University Hospital. They need to be supporting the staff and the patients. You know, time for lip service is over. It is now time to invest.
Well, Northern Ireland's health service is bracing itself for widespread disruption next week. Junior doctors are taking to the picket lines for 2 days, starting on Wednesday morning. Tara Griffiths has the latest from the North's Department of Health.
The warning comes as trusts put contingency plans in place to try and minimise the impact. The statement from the department says disruption will be felt not only on strike days, but a knock-on effect is expected in the days after. The strike is based around a pay dispute with the Junior Doctors Committee. The Department of Health says it doesn't accept that pay talks have collapsed and stands ready to continue negotiations.
A meeting is being planned to discuss concerns regarding the future of Rartna Sleacha in Carndonagh with the HSE. The Acting Area Director of Nursing and a representative from the Donegal Mental Health Area Management Team will be in attendance to meet with families, advocates and other representative members, with the meeting set to happen on or before June the 5th. The facility is in the process of transitioning from a residential service to a community service. Councillor Albert Doherty previously criticised what he said was a lack of communication from the HSE and says he wants the HSE to ensure promised timelines are met.
There also are ambitious timelines put in there now in the last response that I had from HSE. One is that they are going to commence a feasibility study to incorporate an 8-to-10 bed crisis step down facility supported with 24-hour cover, and that they aim to have the study completed by the end of quarter four of this year. That's very important. And also they have another date for reconfiguration and the appropriate interventions required, and they hope to have that kicking in by the 1st of March 25. And they intend to use the old convent or the SRU unit in the future for the provision of mental health services and supports, and that's a very welcome commitment that I will hope to pursue and ensure that they meet these deadlines.
It is ambitious and it is welcoming, but do you have faith that they'll come to fruition, or will it be another idea of kicking the can down the road trying to get things together?
Well, that's an issue. I mean, COVID and infection prevention control stole daycare, social daycare from the community here. Mental health needs input, needs finances, and needs support from central government and from HSE.
The Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District has hit out at the lack of dog filing bins on the Colmore to Muff Greenway. Councillor Terry Crossan says the absence of bins has resulted in dog waste bags on occasions being thrown into nearby agricultural land. He says it's imperative that firstly the bins are installed and secondly that they're emptied regularly. Councillor Crossan says it's a hugely popular walking route which deserves to be adequately resourced.
The majority of dog owners bring bags, clean up and bring their poo home and they would dispose of it at home or in a proper bin. We have no bins on this stretch and we have got cases where people bring bags, okay, but then might dispose of the bag on a hedgerow or even into a farmer's field, which could be potentially dangerous if there's animals in that field. I have heard of instances previously where animals have eaten plastic bags and it can have very serious consequences. So I would like either the environmental group within the council or Roads to come to an agreement of number one, providing bins, and number two, emptying bins. The new phase of the Greenway is being used now very heavily on a daily basis. Children, adults, bicycles, all sorts of trucks, you know, wains and trucks, etc. And a good few dog owners. If there were bins, strategically placed, I don't want them every 100 yards, but every kilometre or every kilometre and a half, if there were a bin, it would encourage people to dispose of poo properly.
Inspections of centres housing international protection applicants found various levels of non-compliance. Visits to 8 centres across 7 counties revealed some examples of good practice, but also varying levels of non-compliance and partial compliance in some areas. The inspections by HICWA found examples of non-compliance in the areas of staff vetting, emergency planning and preparedness, and safeguarding. CEO of migrant rights group Doris, John Lannan, says state-provided accommodation should be up to a proper standard.
And what's particularly worrying is that there were safeguarding and protection concerns. You know, the lack of supports and the lack of safeguards is said that should be in place to ensure that people are safe when they're in the care and the protection of the people providing accommodation for the state.
3 Donegal towns are to receive funding under the Town Teams programme. Creaslot, Ballybofey and Buncrana will each receive €10,000. Meanwhile, Glendies is one of the towns selected to complete a town centre first plans this year. Almost €100,000 has been allocated to Donegal for local biodiversity projects. It's part of a national allocation of €2.8 million. In making the announcement, Minister of State for Nature Malcolm Noonan said that by working with local authorities and making change on the ground in communities, the aims of the National Biodiversity Action Plan can be achieved. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
7 initiatives will be funded in County Donegal. The largest sum of over €41,000 was awarded to the maintenance of predator exclusion fences. This was followed by €23,827, which was allocated to the Donegal Wetlands Field Survey 2024. A project titled Putting Donegal Biodiversity on the Map was given over €12,000, and €8,500 was assigned to updating the Donegal Species Audit. Meanwhile, €2,550 was pledged in support of the publication entitled Birds of Donegal, and €1,289 was allocated to establishing the conservation status of the Irish mayfly.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. And Finn Harps are in action in the SSE Airtricity League First Division tonight as they travel to Dublin to take on an in-form UCD side. UCD currently sit second in the table, while Harps are coming off the back of a home win against Longford last Friday. Harps captain Tony McNamee isn't underestimating the challenge ahead.
We have to show them the respect that they deserve. They're second in the league. They're going well. I don't think they've lost one in maybe 10 or 11 games, so they are actually going well. We played very well against them in Finn Park. They went down to 10 men, and for 10 or 15 minutes we kind of lost the run of ourselves, but they got a lot of control in the game too. And it's just one of them ones where everyone can beat everyone in the league, and we just have to go to UCD and try and get 3 points.
Kickoff at Belfield is at 7:45 tonight. Elsewhere, First Division leaders Cork City are away in Bray. Cove Ramblers welcome Tralee United, and Wexford host Kerry. In the Premier Division, Stephen Kenny takes charge of St Pat's for the first time tonight as his former assistant Rory Higgins takes his Derry City side to Richmond Park. Leaders Shelburne entertain in-form Waterford, Shamrock Rovers visit bottom club Dundalk, Sligo Rovers host Bohemians and Drogheda United face Galway United. There's another huge game for Cock Hill this Sunday as they host Leinster Senior League outfit Airfield United in the first round of the FAI Senior Cup. Jimmy Bradley says playing at home in front of the Cock Hill supporters is a huge advantage.
Home advantage is key in these cup competitions, and with the crowd we have at the moment and the supporters that are coming, they're going above and beyond. They support us. So at home we should have an extra man nearly cheering us on.
Southampton host West Brom in the second Championship playoff semi-final tonight, having played out a 0-0 draw in the first leg last week. 8 p.m. is the start time at St Mary's, and the winners will face Leeds United in the playoff final as they beat Norwich 4-0 in last night's other semi-final. Tottenham manager Ange Postecoglou has doubled down on his comments about the club's fragile foundations. He hit out at his side's progress after their 2-0 defeat against Man City in midweek. The Australian was particularly upset with some fans who decided to celebrate the loss as it could stop rivals Arsenal winning the Premier League title. Postecoglou hasn't changed his stance.
You know, I wasn't happy after the game because we lost the game, but you know, when you asked me about foundations, I couldn't sit there and be disingenuous and say that our foundation is strong. We've lost 5 out of 6 games, big games. That's the reality.
In GAA, there's 2 games down for decision in the Donegal Senior Hurling League this evening. Dunlow hosts Setanta at 7:15, while Buncrana travel to play Sean McCool's at 8. Our feature game on Sunday is the Ulster Senior Ladies Championship Final in Clonus. After the heroics of the men last week, it's the turn of the ladies to face Armagh this time around. Armagh will be favourites, having won the Division 1 title as Donegal missed out on promotion from Division 2, and it has been almost 2 months since Donegal have had a competitive game. Donegal manager John McNulty says it might take a while to get up to the pace of Championship football.
Both are going in the same situation, albeit that they've come off a back of a very successful Division 1 league. But in saying that, you probably will the first maybe 10, 15 minutes. You probably have to dust the cobwebs off and get up to the speed of what you were used to playing at. And actually, with any team that's off 5, 6 weeks, that's probably one of the things that you're trying to get. It's trying to get up to that competitive speed again after being off that long.
You can join us for live match commentary of the game here on Highland as Páraic Kilfordy and Maureen O'Donnell will be in Clonus for us. Throw-in is at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. Meanwhile, Donegal are in action tomorrow in the Ulster Minor Championship semi-final, also against Armagh. The winner of that clash in Ballyshannon will play the winner of Derry v Tyrone in the other semi-final. Both of those games throw in tomorrow at 12 noon, while the Donegal Hurlers are also in action tomorrow as they face Louth in the Nicky Rackard Cup. In golf, Scotty Scheffler's second round at the PGA Championship is underway, following a spell in police custody. The world number one was charged with second-degree assault of a police officer, criminal mischief and reckless driving. Scheffler has been released on his own recognizance and is now 5 under par, 5 holes into his second round. Shane Lowry has picked up 2 shots on his front nine to move to 4 under par. Padraig Harrington remains 6 over, and Rory McIlroy will tee off from 5 under at 8 p.m. That's it from the Sports Desk today. I'll be back with more tomorrow on the Saturday Sport. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. And returning to some news, the chair of Donegal County Council's planning SPC says the adoption of the County Development Plan shows that rural Ireland is being kept open. The plan, which will govern planning policy and decisions until at least 2030 and possibly beyond, will now be reviewed by the Office of the Planning Regulator. Councillor Paul Canning says the plan shows that Donegal is open for business. He says the future of rural areas was key for members when agreeing to adopt the plan.
We have to protect our rural developers, but we also have to protect the scenic amenities that we have. So in tangent with the planners, we are doing that. We are still looking after our landscape, and we are still allowing the sons and daughters of the landowners to build out in the rural countryside. We're also still allowing economic development in certain parts. We're still allowing the farmers to farm their lands, and we are building up our towns. So we are meeting all the criteria, and we're also looking after our major towns.
There will be reviews over the course of the coming years of the planning on where the plan is, particularly if, as we believe may well be the case, it's extended on to 2030. This could become a 10-year plan. In the event of that happening, we will be seeing reviews, we will be seeing assessments of where we are with the plan.
My opinion, it will be the 10-year plan, as we all know at this stage. We are actually going to have to come back in to vary the plan, because everything that we have been doing is based on a 6-year plan and our figures are based on 6 years. But that won't be major. We'll come in and we'll do a vary to the plan. And there will be, at that stage, there'll be a few items where we'll be looking to be brought back in.
The rollout of the Enhanced Community Care Programme has resulted in reduced cardiology waiting lists at Letterkenny University Hospital. As part of the Sláinte Care Plan, the initiative has seen 6 consultants recruited and a 34% reduction in cardiology outpatient waiting lists at the hospital, while the number of patients waiting over a year for an appointment has been reduced by 99%. The ECC programme is designed to ensure primary and community care services work to meet health needs and reduce the number of people depending on hospital services. Tony Canavan, Regional Executive Officer for the HSE West and Northwest, hopes the programme can be expanded.
The Enhanced Community Care Programme came from Sláinte Care, the National Plan for the Development of Our Health Service, and the key focus is about developing services in the community closer to where people are living so that they don't have to avail of those services in the hospitals. Currently, or up to that time, we had a very significant dependence on our hospitals for too much of the healthcare that could be provided in other settings. So over 500 staff have been recruited over the last couple of years into areas like care of older people services, chronic disease management programs. And what we've seen is that that we're seeing people in a more appropriate setting. We're seeing people that would otherwise have turned up in hospital for one reason or another receiving care in primary care centres and in chronic disease management hubs, which is far more appropriate to their needs. And of course, it's also far more convenient for them, besides them having to travel to their local hospital.
And is this something that you could see being developed further in the future?
There's absolutely no doubt about it. The Sláinte Care Plan is a 10-year plan. Now, we are a number of years into it, but it was disrupted with COVID in 2020 and 2021 and that. So I think there's still considerable development to happen yet. While we've seen improvements already as a result of the rollout of the Enhanced Community Care Programme, I think we're really at the start of a process, and there's lots more to come with that. In particular, what we're hoping is that that we'll be able to scale up the activity and see more and more patients in the community rather than them having to travel into hospitals.
Most young people underestimate older generations' concerns around climate change. An ESRI survey found 3 in 4 16 to 24-year-olds think older people care less about the crisis. Emily Keegan has more.
An EPA-funded study of 500 young people under the age of 24 found most interpret older generations' stance on climate change as weaker than is actually the case. Data shows those aged over 40 care more about the environment and climate crisis than estimated by the majority of 16 to 24-year-olds. Sive O'Neill, Senior Climate Advisor for Friends of the Earth Ireland, says this belief among the younger generation is understandable.
There is a question of intergenerational injustice here, because they're going to grow up in a world that's 1.5 or more degrees warmer, with all of the climate havoc that that's going to bring.
Despite young people's thoughts on how older people handle or look at the situation, it doesn't motivate them to increase their own activism or engagement with environmentally friendly causes. Angelica Foley, activist with Fridays for Future, doesn't believe this means young people are too relaxed about the issue.
If you look at the levels of eco-anxiety around there, people are really distressed by what they're seeing on the news about wildfires and melting polar ice caps.
Researchers are encouraging young people to acknowledge accurate data surrounding attitudes, as it can lead to more positive opinions on the impact of activism.
Weather now largely dry, with a mix of sunshine and cloudy patches this evening. A mix of clear spells and cloud overnight with a light breeze, and lowest temperatures of 9 to 12 degrees. The closing headlines: the President says the victims of the Troubles should not be asked to move on from the past. Today marks the 50th anniversary of the deadliest day of the 30-year conflict, during which 34 people lost their lives in four car bombings in Dublin and Monaghan. A South Donegal deputy has warned that too many families are suffering the loss of loved ones on the roads. Deputy Martin Kenny in the Dáil pressed Junior Minister Jack Chambers on what progress has been made on improving road safety. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle believes that nursing homes should be the responsibility of the state. Deputy Thomas Pringle says it's worrying to see the number of private beds increase on a yearly basis. And a protest is due to take place tomorrow in solidarity with the staff and patients of Letterkenny University Hospital. Organiser Emma Govis says with extensive waiting lists and continuous overcrowding, it's time the government stepped in and delivered the much-needed investment once and for all. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is News with Colm Ferter, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Tránóna Wadeev, Colm Ferter and Shaw. Léirí an taidja nua ghéanra na gealtachta go bhfuil líon na deilí atá na gcónaí ansin. Ag fáis níos giste na líon na díthí atá ar fáil dífa. Comisiúní údaras na gealtachta an taidja uair a thugann léirgas ar éilimh agus soláthair títhíochtas gealtacht dú réir an taidja tan scéras airde de híhí sira le fáil an gealtachtaí ghuananál agus kiri. Le níos mó na cahara faoingéad don na tíhís na limisteir plana le tarí agus túiscar thuúnanáil in na díhí sira. San omlan tá an céadatain de híhí fólamha sa gealtacht níos airde na an scéar náisiúnta agus is teilí ina bhfuil ar a laghad duine amháin de na poistí fásta in na gcónaí sa bhaile an ceineal teilí is cáitíonta sa gealtacht fásta. Tán scéim géalbráta a ceiliúr a d'éim líana ar an fód. Is scéim náisiúnta é géalbráta a tá a reáchtáil i géal linn, a spreagann scólarí bonscola agus iarbonscola géalaige a lúirt tíbistí des thíobh na scola, brántar an géalbráta ar scólana ranfhártithe mar gáil ar gréibhíochtaí a bhainaí agus a reáchtáil dáltaí scola. Cuirt Tar fáil tú raibh a grúpaí claru faoin scéim blathú glóir na ngéal, an ar í cadaíú mhaonú ar lua 4 míle euro do grúpaí géalaige faoi bhlathú, scéim mion deontais de chóistíh pobl a tá riortha ag glóir na ngéal, cuirt ar tacaíocht ar fáil de réin leathan gníomhaíochtaí. Bíonn an scéim oscailte do na grúpaí pobl géalaige atá claraithe le glóir na ngéal, is féidir do grúpaí géalaige áitiúil a claru ag siomh na hagraíochta, agus don séú bliana in né céile, ceiliúirí tar a féile ráise rua fithe fithe sa cehar ar Ellen Aran Mhór an deireadh seachtain i seo, féile i gcuimhne an amhrán í áitiúil ráise na n-amhrán, tá imeachtaí cultúrtha go leor beartaithe don éile a ríistim mliana gaholas ag siomh na féile. Sin mo thuid sé ar i gcoiléir, slán agus beannacht.
The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 17th of May. The death has taken place of Brian Doherty, Oakfield Ruffaut, formerly of Galdena, Manor Cunningham. Brian's remains will leave a Derry Neely funeral home, Foyle Road, Derry, this evening at 6 o'clock, returning to the family home via the Galdena Road. Reposing at his home in Ruffaut from 7 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow between 12 noon and 9. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Funeral from his late home on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock in St. Union's Church, Ruffaut, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice. The death has taken place of Roseanne McBride, Ard Lass, Port Salon, Fanad. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny at 6 o'clock this evening, going to her late residence with Rosary Knightley at 9. Requiem Mass will take place in St. Columbus Church Massmount at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of Julie McElroy, 9, Coolnagar Drive, Oma, formerly of New York, originally of Kirkneedy, Glenswilly, Donegal. Reposing at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening until removal on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 for 3 o'clock Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Oma, followed by interment in Drumrah Cemetery. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and before the funeral on Sunday. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust. The death has occurred of Mary Gallagher, Gortlee, Letterkenny. Mary's remains will repose at Marley's Funeral Home, Derry Road, Drumley, Letterkenny, tomorrow afternoon from 3:30 until removal at 4:30 to St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, reposing overnight. Requiem Mass on Sunday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. The death has occurred of James Noon, 5A Arclogher, Carndonna, formerly of Clunche, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11:30, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Mental Health and Diabetes Association, care of any family member or McFeely funeral directors. James's funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Anne Coyle, Naoimh McGowan, 3, Drumard, Millfield, Buncrana. Anne's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, going to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for 1:30 Requiem Mass, followed by burial in Sacred Heart Church, Carndonna. House private, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Porter funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Pauline Casey, Naoimh McLucas, 3, St Mary's Place, Strabane, formerly of Ballet, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:20 for a service of thanksgiving in Lickpatrick Presbyterian Church, Artigarvan, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the family plot. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.